shouldn't ever have to do that, unless this is a screen dump, then you might have to do it. Not applicable. They're very gloomy in this dark. Would people prefer the lights turned up a bit? I always hate it when I'm in the audience and it's gloomy. Well, it's only better than when you started, thank you. Alright, so I'm Jeffrey Fox, and so this is meant to be a tutorial on various applications of web technology in HPCC. And the format is that I will talk this morning on some sort of overview of web technologies, followed by a discussion of applications, mainly which I spend most of the time on use of the web to do computing. In the afternoon, David Warner will take over. He will describe the healthcare applications of web technology and will also describe how to use the web for high-performance information interfaces. And then at the end, we'll answer all possible questions you might have if there are any of you left. So, right, let's while they're negotiating, how many of you consider yourself pretty expert at the web? Most, all right. So I won't. There's too much material here, so I need to know what to miss. So I'll mainly talk about applications. Alright, why don't you press next if you... Well, there's a button at the top here called next. Okay. So. Alright. So I would view that some of the most relevant web technologies are exemplified by Java, JavaScript, VRML, the linking of databases to the web, and collaboration. So we'll discuss that at some level. And then we'll describe some sort of overall architecture where you layer applications on top of services. And as it says here, we'll describe three applications in detail and mention another, probably manufacturing, somewhat more briefly, and I probably will skip most of the comments on education unless you want me to go through it. Your large handout has a substantial amount of material on education. Next. So, there are two garbage foils in your handout, I apologize. So people are always worried about the enormous amount of commercial activity. They're either pleased or worried about the enormous amount of commercial activity in the web, because they say, well, we can't compete. So we better keep clear of this technology. So I would say that there is some truth in that statement, in that you rather difficult to compete given the time scale and money that industry works on. It's sort of amusing to compare high performance Fortran with Java, or no, better even to compare Fortran 90 with Java. Fortran 90 probably took about 15 years to reach maturity from first inception in around 1978, so the first compilers really becoming truly available around now, whereas Java was delivered within a year or so. So the timescales we're working on are very different from some of the timescales we're used to. So I would claim that there are two areas where there are at least two areas where at least the HPCC community can contribute. The first is to look at the web for high-performance computing, and the second is in the area of education, in that we're meant to know how to do some education. The academic parts of this are meant to do that. All right, next file. All right, so this basically starts off by putting a few things in context, leading up to the observation that web technology can provide some of the missing links in high-performance computing, namely, the problem with high-performance computing is not that the technology doesn't work, it's that it's relatively difficult to implement it with good software infrastructure. Next file. Okay, next file. All right. So I think it's quite interesting to compare the evolution of high-performance computing, where I would claim that the things which are technologically reasonably clear are hindered by social forces, namely the fact that it's hard to port large codes and things like that, whereas in the communication area, almost the opposite is true. Namely, things are getting adopted faster than you might expect technologically because of deregulation forcing various industries to compete. So I would claim that that suggests again that it will be useful to look at the web as an adjunct to high-performance computing. Next file. So that's sort of what this file says. I must admit, if you had stocks in your local university, I would sell them. I don't think universities are going to find it very easy to compete in this world, in that it seems to me one of the areas that will have that this technology will have the greatest impact in is that should be possible now to deliver education in a distributed fashion, in a far more effective fashion than before. And I believe you'll see over the next few years some quite dramatic progress in the so-called virtual university. Next file. All right. So this is a file I made a long time ago. So it's meant to contrast the traditional, some of the features of the traditional high-performance computing approach with the web approach. So as I had something to do with the beginning of high-performance Fortran, I'm allowed to insult it. So I use that as indicative of a typical HPCC technology. So a traditional HPCC strategy is here we have a computing pyramid with a lot of small machines at the bottom, from PCs and the web on up, and various supercomputers at the top. So a nifty thing, a typical thing one might do is port HPF so that it runs on an ATM connected set of PCs. To give a typical example of a HPCC strategy. So that's starting at the niche of the pyramid and taking the technology down. So that's a useful thing to do. It allows people at the top of the pyramid to use the technology at the bottom. The trouble with that approach is that Bill Gates couldn't care less about that because he doesn't start at the top of the pyramid, he starts at the bottom. So an alternative strategy is to start at the bottom of the pyramid and port upwards. So the sort of general idea of using web technologies for computing is that if we start at the bottom of the pyramid and link up to the top, we stand a better chance of producing a viable infrastructure because we can then use the very well supported bottom of the pyramid technologies and use those resources, which are the large amount of money going into the generation of them, to do large-scale computing. Whereas the problem with the porting downward strategy is it doesn't so clearly leverage the huge investment at the low end. Next file. So here's the basic philosophy. We would claim that the web is basically a distributed computing environment. So what we want to do is to build parallel computing environments, which are approximately the only difference between distributed and parallel computing is the type of synchronization and correspondingly lower latencies and higher bandwidth one needs for parallel computing. So the goal would be to take the rich infrastructure from the distributed computing world, marry it with the knowledge of synchronization, etc., from the parallel computing world and build some combined environment which hopefully has the best features of both worlds. So it's sort of obvious that the distributed computing world is of course a lot larger than the parallel computing world, but of course it doesn't solve as tightly synchronized the problem. So we will address that later on. Next file. So all this foil does, which is another old one I made, points out that if you look at the total performance in the so-called set-top boxes / home PC / video games and compare it to a bunch of teraflop supercomputers, there's some factor of 100 to 1,000 greater performance in those World Wide Web clients than there are total central computing resources. Next file. All right, so this just says this in words again, that you'll have some 100 million clients maybe, that's roughly the number of homes / set-top boxes, and those would naturally be supported by parallel servers, so you will have. And all of these numbers are substantially larger than the supercomputer arena. As you will look, people think about this as a client-server architecture. It is more plausibly, in my opinion, viewed as a server-server architecture, because I believe it is natural to run effectively web servers, and is effectively happening on the client side, and that's. That also goes hand in hand with people being able to publish as well as to access. Next file. All right. So actually, I think this file is showed more than once. So this is meant to be the overall architecture. So at the top there, we have a bunch of applications. And I don't put computing in there just because I normally think about computing as a service, not an application. So they reuse a bunch of services. So for instance, digital video might be enabled by effectively the cable and et cetera industry and TV industry to deliver information into people's homes. It can then get reused to store and disseminate video in healthcare and education and so on. All right, so then we have, so services are basically generic applications. I would claim that, that effectively what is happening is that these services are getting implemented on what I call web windows, which is essentially the operating system for the World Wide Web, if you like. And the web windows is itself built using all these standard technologies, which I mentioned before. Next file. So I would claim that, well, these are at least four of these critical technologies. Of course, they're not they may be different implementations of the same ideas, but I believe all of these technologies are obviously essential. So Java, probably most of you, given the number, said you were familiar, most of you are essentially familiar with that. I guess I would claim that to me it's very likely that Java will replace Fortran as the dominant programming language for science and engineering. And if you wish to either disagree or agree with that, you can come to a birds of a feather session I'm organizing around that theme on Wednesday at 1:30. So I find that as I'm teaching this semester both Java and Fortran 90, I believe I'm allowed to have that opinion. All right. And it's also possible that Java will replace C++ as a software engineering language, or at least compete with C++ as a software engineering language. So JavaScript is a more limited language. This particular page here is riddled with JavaScript. VRML is a very important technology in the world, is especially for HPCC, because the world is three-dimensional. And whereas HTML allows you to describe documents, VRML, which originally was viewed by some people as a three-dimensional HTML, is essentially a universal description of three-dimensional objects. And so it's therefore very useful in areas such as scientific visualization, description of commercial products, building of virtual worlds, etc. So when I teach my courses in this area, the capability that the students get the best job offers for is the ability to link databases to the web. As I'll mention later on, I think there's been at MPAC at Syracuse, we've had what I would consider a remarkable change in the area of databases. For 5 years ago, we sort of had a relatively minor involvement with databases. We had some sort of research project in parallel databases. Now we have dozens of projects which are using on a daily basis relational and object databases simply because those databases are now linked to the web and are relatively easy to use. So I guess I would view this is a certainly very useful technology, and things such as JDBC, the Java Database Connection, are going to make it even easier. Next file. Now let's skip over these trends. Let me just go here. Right. I just wanted to make a few remarks about web windows. So I would claim that a lot of the excitement today about NT or Unix is a little peculiar to me. As far as I can see, the goal of everybody should be to write your software to none of those, but rather for the API defined by the World Wide Web. So I believe that by far the most successful model over the next few years will not be worrying about the Wintel interface or the Unix interface. It will be worrying about the web interface. And so you will see various examples of that here later on. And so web windows is not terribly well defined, especially as the web is evolving, but it's essentially that it's defined as whatever the current set of web servers and clients define as their open interfaces, which will be things like the so-called Common Gateway Interface, CGI interface for servers, and the various Java and VRML and HTML interfaces for clients. And of course the reason I believe that Web Windows is going to be far more successful than any other operating system is that it is more or less universal. If you write your software so that it links not to a particular operating system but rather to the web, clients essentially run on all systems. So you can then have your software portable between PCs, Macs, etc. So I see that, and I don't see how these other operating systems can possibly compete with that. Next file. That's not to say that Bill Gates shouldn't provide us a few interrupts in Windows NT and so that his work is sort of useful, but I don't see it matters too much in the long run. All right, so this points out an essential feature of the Web Windows environment, namely, obviously, Web Windows is the operating, by definition, the operating environment of the web. So it means that it can link all these, in the top part of the diagram, we have PCs and workstations running various operating systems all linked together. And they can be a various combination of navigators or servers. But Web Windows is a perfectly viable operating system for a standalone PC or a standalone set-top box, because there's obviously no reason why you can't run a server and a client on the same machine. Indeed, that SGI there is actually to avoid you twiddling your thumbs and falling asleep, and while we access the web at Syracuse, nearly all this material is being fetched by a server mounted on this particular machine here. So effectively this machine has a couple of servers and a browser, and it's effectively using the Web Windows concept. Next file, just press next. All right. So if you think about, so there's a couple of other reasons why Web Windows will dominate over Unix and NT. One is that the software model of the web is somewhat more attractive. Namely, we're used especially in the PC world, to have monolithic applications, what DoD might call stovepipe applications, total solutions, which in today's rapidly evolving world is not obviously the right approach. And so, whereas the web naturally encourages a much more modular approach to software. So, and that has two advantages. A, the software is modular, which is a good idea. B, you can harness the creative energy of the world. So, usually I like to compare some sort of hierarchy of software organization as perhaps in IBM or Microsoft versus the less organized software organization of hackers around the world. All right, next. All right. So actually, this frame here, in some sense, exhibits web windows, because so you can compare this presentation software, such as Persuasion and PowerPoint, with what you would do using the web. So what's the problem for Persuasion or PowerPoint? Well, one of their major problems is that they are monolithic. Namely, this particular foil was prepared on Persuasion, but neither Persuasion nor PowerPoint actually define an interface that allows you to extract the information on that foil without taking a screen dump. The thing you can get out of Persuasion is the outline file, but you can't actually get the fact that it's got a yellow title and the font of that title is such and such, etc. That is only defined, as far as I know, only known to the internal software developers at Adobe, and not known to anybody else. And so I would claim that clearly violates the principles of web windows, where you must have everything should be built to modular interfaces. So let me actually, that's the same foil, but it's just the HTML. And so you can say, well, obviously HTML doesn't look as good as the previous foil. And the reason is, of course, it's not yellow and pink and properly fonted. That's because I extracted it from the outline file of Persuasion, which doesn't have that information. But it seems to me quite obvious that suitable use of interfaces such as HTML in its various advanced forms as the definition of the output of presentation packages has to be a much better idea, because then you can link it in various nifty fashions to produce far more powerful presentations. Just do next. All right, so actually here's an early example we built using the Hot Java browser, which points out that once you decide that you're going to use this sort of open interface, then you can do nifty things like using suitable Java applets for the title, and you can, of course, define colors if you want to, etc. Next file, this one is essentially an old version of what we had already. All right. Okay. So the example I've given is the what I call the web top productivity environment, or to just contrast with the desktop productivity environment. And but the lesson, which is that the natural software model is not the previous one with hidden interfaces, but it's a much more open model, I believe, is critical. Java is probably the most important technology in implementing it, because Java is the technology that allows you to build the most flexible clients. So let me see. this point, there are a few files here which make another general point which is relevant. Namely, when people criticize me that using the web for computing is ridiculous because the internet is too slow, I point out that that argument, it may or may not be that the internet is too slow. It's not too slow for all applications. It's certainly too slow for the vast majority. That's not terribly relevant because the dominant activity in the web today is actually not internets, but intranets, namely it's dedicated networks for a particular application, which in the HPCC arena could be typified by iWay. In the business enterprise systems, it's just a network of that particular corporation. And so that actually addresses some of the security and bandwidth and latency issues, because what we're, the goal of this, the use of web technology, is to leverage the world, leverage the excellent software model to build customized applications that will run on particular hype networks which have been optimized for that application. Next one. All right, so this is just a Business Week screen dump showing that it believes in intranets. Next file. I think we just skipped through all of these things. So this one from the same article points out that intranets will dwarf internets. This file you do have to scan down to see the bottom, but it just has a year scan. Just scan this slider here. So it just says that starting around now, the expectation was, at least in February of 96, that intranets will dominate internets as a business opportunity. Next file. And we don't want that. Well, this is some final. Next file. Okay. All right, so this is a pretty peculiar color, but an important file. So this is meant to summarize the basic idea. So the reason why, in my opinion, HPCC was unable to produce, HPCC produced the correct ideas, but actually produced essentially, it didn't produce much working software infrastructure. And I believe the reason for that is sort of intrinsic. The HPCC community is too small either to be able to afford good software or to build good software. And actually, most communities are too small to do that. And so the web, in some sense, has, by definition, ought to have the best software because it has the biggest market. So you take the worldwide internet and the world as the customer, you get, because that's the largest market, you get the best software, and that's best both in both price and performance. I mean, by performance, I mean capability. You will have to possibly add various capabilities. For instance, if we're doing high-performance computing, we'll probably want to look at the web servers and decrease the latency and enhance the bandwidth, etc. And of course, if we're doing defense or commerce applications, we'll have to worry about security. So particular applications will feed in particular capabilities, and then we have, having done that, we then do two types of things. We choose particular networks, which are intranets, and particular applications such as virtual universities, computing, or healthcare, and we build customized software to run on customized networks, inheriting this space. So that's sort of the business model for what we do. Next file. All right. So this file was just meant to illustrate to some extent the rapid progress of the web. Namely, this was the diagram I drew in spring of 95 for my web class, and it was pretty simple in those days. It still had some of the essential features, various universal interfaces. The next file was sort of the model as of 9 months later, the end of 95, which is a much more complicated model, where instead of having just HTML going back and forth, you now have 3D objects, VRML, you have the specification of programming, that's Java applets, you actually have programming itself, that's JavaScript, you have a rich set of plugins, you have Java software running on the client side, and on the server side you also have a growing trend to Java servers and things like servlets, which are the equivalent of applets on the server side. So the model of the web is getting far more complex. However, it is still true that everything is the interfaces are still relatively universal. There's some disagreements on the details, but they're universal. And I guess it might be worth remembering that there's an almost trivial reason they're universal. Namely, in the good old days, or the bad old days, when computers weren't very powerful and we didn't have much memory, and we were, say, trying to build, say, Microsoft Word, we sort of had to define a very optimized, extremely cleverly packed binary intermediate format for our Word document so that we could fit it into memory and run it in an effective fashion. If you look at the equivalent web approach, it's extremely inefficient. It's ASCII format, you know, it's free text, it's text format, so you can actually read it and decode it. It's not terribly optimized. And the reason you can get away with it is the computers are so much more powerful and the memory is so much cheaper that you can afford to have open interfaces. So it's not that people did it wrong in the past, they were forced to do it. Now the trade-off is the advantages of the open interfaces are so much greater that you can afford the performance loss. You actually can't always afford the performance loss. One of the major problems of the current VRML implementations, which are 3D objects, is their ridiculously poor performance because they're doing no compression and ASCII transmission of the information, which is okay for documents, but is not a terribly good idea if you're specifying a rich 3D scene. So there's some... The web is going to have to face up to some performance issues, but a lot of the reasons it can do what it's doing and produce this much better environment is simply because the trade-off between performance and usability can be done differently today because of the nature of today's computers. Next file. So let's see where we are, 916. So I'm going to, I'm just going to skip most of these foils here. I just go through these overview foils to be logical. So I always feel a little sad for Perl, as it's, I consider Perl quite a nice language. But I believe Perl will be overtaken by the web. And a reasonable indication of this is that around in December 94, Perl 5 was released, which was a so-called object-oriented version of Perl. It also had various other important improvements. Well, today, if you go to your local bookstore, which is Barnes & Noble at Syracuse, you will find one or two books with the word Perl 5 in the title. However, at least the ones I've looked at do not describe Perl 5. They describe Perl, and in the reprinting, they added the 5 in front of it. So there is today, as far as I know, no book which describes Perl 5. Whereas there, as you probably know, if you go to Barnes & Noble, you'll find 20 books on Java, and those are 20 different books from what you had on Java a couple of months before. So whereas Java has about 50 books on it, Perl 5, as far as I know, has zero. If anybody knows to the contrary, I would like to find that book because I would like to use it in my class. But so I see that as an illustration. So I believe, well, even though Perl has a lot of capabilities which are not in Java, I assume that it will be overtaken by the Java juggernaut. But still, it remains obviously a very useful technology because of its excellent text and document processing capability. And at least historically, most server extensions through the Common Gateway interface were built with Perl. However, even there, it's relatively obvious that the Java servers and the concept of servlets will presumably, in some time period, like maybe a year or so, replace that as the implementation of choice. Next. All right. So I suggest you probably better learn Perl and be mild because it is quite useful, but I believe Java is obviously a more important language, and it has a lot of areas that it is extremely important. Originally, which shows the heritage of this file, originally Java, it seemed to me, the reason why it was so important was it took what was previously, the web before Java came out was a server technology. Essentially, the client was powerful but fixed, the browser, and all capabilities had to be added with so-called CGI scripts on the server. When Java came out, for the first time, you could put capability on the browser in a natural fashion, which, as we learn in high-performance computing, you need to build scalable applications, as there are, in fact, far more clients than servers, and more computing power, presumably, in clients. That is a very important capability, because you can now, once Java comes out, you may not find it easy to implement, but at least you can design balanced systems, and you can put what is natural on the client and put what is natural on the server As an example, this technology here, which happens to be JavaScript, not Java, that's all a client-side technology, so you get relatively good performance. Whereas if I'd done this implementation 18 months ago, all those buttons up there would have to have gone, would almost normally have gone back to a CGI script on a server, and you would have found the response far less satisfactory. So it does some. The fact that Java not only allows you to balance the computing, but it also allows you to put what is naturally on the client side on the client, and therefore build much better interfaces. Because inevitably, if you wander back to a server, you're going to get some sort of delay, which will depend on the network and the cleverness of your implementation. Next file. So this reveals my prejudice as to why I think Java will replace Fortran as a sign.